We often talk about things going on in our lives, what's happening, what's happened, what we plan to do. Perhaps they're short or long-term plans, going to the beach, planning a holiday, buying a house. It all depends on what's happening in your world. But perhaps you don't have the luxury to plan very far ahead. Our lives' journeys all follow different roads, and you don't necessarily need to be old to be thinking about what's going to happen at the end. And that is something we really need to talk about, those conversations about the end of life, because while they can be uncomfortable, they can actually improve the quality of life for those facing that journey. So let's get into this topic right now, right here on ABC Newcastle. Dr. Ursula Sansom-Daly is a clinical psychologist who works with young people with cancer at Sydney Youth Cancer Service. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. What do these end-of-life conversations look like? What are we talking about when we say end-of-life conversation?
It's a great question. I think it can mean a lot of things, and it's not just the nuts and bolts of, you know, how you might want to die, you know, where you might want to die. To say someone with cancer, obviously there's going to be a lot of medical aspects to that, so how we manage their symptoms and their pain as the cancer progresses. But really, we're discovering in research more and more that it's all the other stuff that goes around that, like, you know, what's important to you to be doing with your time? You know, who do you want to be spending your time with? What are your goals for the rest of your time? That's really important to be talking about as well at that time, not just the medical stuff.
Yeah, because that is really the quality part of living, right, of the time that you may or may not have left is the fun part rather than when you have to go to hospital, when you can come home, that those nuts and bolts things.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think being a young person, your sense of self is so important anyway. But if you're a young person who's gotten sick, maybe potentially gotten cancer that's not going so well, that has such a huge impact on your sense of self, your identity, you know, body image, all of those things. And it really can affect how you see yourself. And, you know, suddenly finding out that potentially you're not going to have as long of a life as you thought you were going to just dramatically changes all of those dreams and, you know, future things that you're imagining for yourself. So I think being able to have conversations that still help you to keep connected to who you are, you know, you're not just a cancer patient, you're not just a sick person, you know, maybe stuck in hospital, but you're actually still a whole, you know, wonderful human with lots of other things to you, is really so important for someone feeling good and vital, even if it's gone.
Yeah. What happens when one of us might be really keen in a family to have these conversations and other people are like, nope, we're shutting that down, we're not talking about it? How do you overcome some of those emotional barriers with people approaching this differently?
Yeah, it's such an important question, and it is such a touchy and a tricky topic. None of us really like talking about death. It's a, I think, human nature that we want to avoid the topic. I think, you know, from my perspective as a professional, if I have a family who doesn't really want to talk about it, I think the important thing is to understand what their fears and concerns are, and you need to understand where they're coming from first before you can move ahead. You know, not everyone's going to be ready to talk at the same time, and so it's not ever a matter of like pushing someone, but I think it's a matter, you know, in my role professionally, is to kind of open those doors to talk about it and say, okay, what are you worrying about, and potentially sometimes helping them to see the benefits that might come out of having those conversations. I think people worry about the scary stuff without maybe being aware of the benefits that can come out of it in terms of planning things, in terms of being able to, you know, have your goals and wishes heard, and also in terms of connectedness and closeness with your loved ones.
Because being on the same page means that it's a smoother ride for everyone, right?
And you're always going to have some people and some families where someone unfortunately dies. And you don't get to that point where everyone's on the same page. But I suppose, you know, for those of us who work with young people in hospital rooms, we really try to see if we can get everyone on the same page. It makes it easier for everyone at the end.
Is it good to have these conversations even before maybe we get sick? Is this something we can do as healthy people as well?
Oh, I totally think so. I mean, I think that's the thing is we all kind of walk around avoiding this and pretending like we're not all going to one day die, but unfortunately we are. And I think the thing is that you have so much more wiggle room, so much more room to move with what you're thinking and planning if you do it when you're healthy and if you do it when there's time. I think one of the sadder elements of my job when I work with young people is when we sometimes see these conversations happening way too close to the end when it's already the crisis point and there's just so much less that you can do because the person's maybe already quite unwell, there's a lot less time left, they may not be able to travel for medical reasons or otherwise. So yeah, if you have those conversations earlier on or just when you're healthy, you absolutely have more room to move in actually, you know, putting those plans and those goals and wishes into place, into action.
How do we start this conversation within our families? What's a good way to broach it?
I think you always have to come back to what's important to you as a person and what do you and what does your family think and what's at the heart of you as a family. I think that can help you kind of answer the question about what's important for you to be spending your time doing. I mean, for some people that might be traveling, for some people it might really be, you know, spending time, you know, learning, spending time working with others, spending time volunteering. I mean, there's lots of different things that make each of us, you know, tick and make our hearts sing. I think starting with the things that you love doing and enjoy gives you a clue as to where you want to be spending your time. And then there are the kind of the other questions around what's important to you in terms of, you know, if you'd want to die at home, if you'd want to die in hospital, that are also really important elements to that. But I always think it's good to kind of have a soft entry point to these conversations, not going necessarily straight to the end because that can be confronting for some people, but thinking about, okay, well, if my time was limited, what would I be wanting to do? What would I want to do with that time?
I feel like that starting with enjoyment as well is a great way to broach it. If there's a young person involved in the conversation, if it's the young person's end of life you're planning, to start with things that you really, really, really like doing and that you want to do as much of as you can is a nice soft way into that, as you were saying.
Yeah. And I think when you don't have so much time left, so a lot of times when you're sick, you know, the thing that you're hoping for most of all is just to get better, just there's going to be a cure and, you know, just that the whole thing's going to go away. And then at a certain point, often you have to shift that hope or kind of change that hope slightly. And so you might not still be realistically hoping to be cured, but you might instead be hoping for, you know, to be well enough to make it to your formal or to your graduation or to, you know, for some young people, they really just want to be well enough to do their final exams because that's really important too. You know, your hopes and goals change, but I think focusing on the you know who you are, your sense of identity is so helpful to kind of keep that door open to the
really great. Yeah, really great to speak with you about this morning. Thanks so much for your time on Mornings.
Thank you.
Dr. Ursula Sanson-Daly there. She's a clinical psychologist, specialises in having these end-of-life conversations for people who are in hospital.